Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live, straight from the D. Whipping up a poetic fusion of life, love, laughter, inspiration, motivation, education, and mental stimulation. With a cherry on top, with our weekly hot topics on everyday relations, welcome to Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio, with your host, Poetic Energy herself, bringing the electric current with her own poetic flow, weekly featured guests, and open mic segments. She promises to keep the currents and the waves live at all times. Here on Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio. Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio. The number to chime in and express yourself is 917-932-8881. That's 917-932-8881. Non-U.S. listeners, dial 1-877-218-1183. That's 1-877-218-1183.
Good evening, and welcome to Living Abundantly with Tanika Patrice Kane on 109.9 Penn Station. We have been graced to see yet another Thankful Thursday, and tonight I'm thankful for the ability to choose. It seems that everyone has an agenda for you, or plan that they feel would be best for your life, and so I'm thankful that day by day I learn to care less what others think or what others want concerning my life. It's not that their opinions aren't important, it's just their opinions don't matter more than the plan that God has for my life. And so, you know, I have the ability to hold on to the things that other people say, or hold on to the agendas of others, or I have the right even to say, you know what, I value what you have to say, I appreciate your opinion, but ultimately this is the road that I have to take. And so I am thankful for the ability to choose. And there's a balance. There's a balance that's needed in order to be able to validate how other people feel without actually owning their stuff. And so for the first time in a very long time, I spent Christmas exactly how I wanted to. And I chose to spend the first part of the day with my immediate family and fix breakfast and just enjoyed everyone's company in a very peaceful and serene, calming kind of environment. And then I came home, just spent a few hours by myself because the grandparents had my child, and I relished the silence that I had in my home, and I worked on my new manuscript, and I got one more section of this reorganization project done that I've been working on, seems like forever. Almost there. And I took a nap, and it was just a lovely day indeed. And I made contact with some people that I love, via phone and text and online, and I went on about my day, but I didn't feel obligated to have the time or have conversations with people that I didn't want to have or do anything that I did not want to do. And that was such wonderful progress for me. And while there are many instances that were not my first choice of how I would have wanted to spend the day, I made the best of what I had available to me, and it turned out to be a really wonderful day. I got a chance to do exactly what I wanted to do. And so I hope that you had Christmas in a way that was how you wanted to spend it. Or if it couldn't be your ideal circumstances, that you made the best of it and that it was a wonderful day anyway, in spite of. And it seems more and more lately I have been making choices that have been coming, that have had me coming away feeling very empowered. And it's so easy to get stuck in what's not going right or what has refused to line up with your plans, or even what has even refused to line up with the plans that God has for you. But there's always something we can do to make the choice that will make it work out for us. And so these steps have really helped me to create a path for myself that will ultimately lead me where I want to go. I heard a phrase by Michael Bernard Beckwith, and talking about living life full out, holding nothing back. And I had never heard that phrase, living full out, but it really resonated in my spirit. And so I have been trying to really embrace that, just latch on to it. Excuse me. And while I'm not in control of what other people may choose to do or not do, I am completely in control of how I choose to respond to what they do or not do. And I'm in control of what I choose to do beyond the scope of their involvement. So it all rests on me. And so I say that to you. You can't control another person. You can't decide what another person will choose to do or not do. All you can do is just let them be who they are, and you know, let them know where you are, what your stance is, you know, and then give them the freedom to be who and what they are. And, you know, there's a lot of things that Scripture talks about, but in the beginning, when he was kind of giving, laying the foundation, you know, what our role was to be here, there were a lot of things that he told us that we could take dominion over, you know, the birds and the air and the things in the sea and things that creep along the ground, but he never, ever told us to take dominion over each other. And we fall into such just unnecessary drama, you know, and when we are trying to control other human beings, we just, it's not our job, you know. And even if the creator of the universe doesn't control us, then who are we to try and control another person? So, you know, that's just really something to think about. You know, we are supposed to work alongside each other and to build each other up and help each other, but we're not to control each other. We're not to take dominion over each other, you know. And even, I know this, we've been talking about this healthy relationship, you know, stuff, and we're still in the midst of that series. And so, you know, it's almost like I could hear someone saying, you know, but Bible says that you're supposed to submit, you know, a woman should submit to her husband. You know, that's what even, but the scriptures before that actually say that we're supposed to submit one to the other, you know. And so sometimes, you know, people will get those scriptures twisted, you know, and think that means I'm supposed to be in control of another person. That's not what that means at all, you know. In regards to, you know, a man and husband-wife kind of situation, you know, she's supposed to submit to his headship, you know, but to her, too. And so it's an ebb and flow. It goes back and forth. Excuse me. You know, so we end up with problems and things being out of balance when we are taking scripture out of context and doing with it what we want to do with it. And so, for those men out there who feel like they have got to, you know, rule their homes with an iron fist, you are so out of order. I'm going to just call it out like it is. You're out of order, you're wrong, and you need to repent. You know, not only do you need to repent before God, but you need to repent to your family, and you need to change your ways. And so, you know, here's a scripture that talks about provoking our children to wrath. And, very specifically, in the Proverbs tells us not to do that, not to provoke our children to wrath. And so what ends up happening is when you have been so hard on someone, then the next thing that kind of kicks in is rebellion. If you've ever seen, you know, someone who's just out of order, I mean, just like it doesn't matter what it is that you have, what you do or whatever could come, they're willing to just deal with whatever it is that comes their way because, you know, somewhere along the line, you know, when there should have been grace, or when there should have been grace, yeah, there's a word, you know, when there should have been grace, and when there should have been mercy extended, even if God extends those things to us, someone didn't care enough or didn't know enough, you know, to extend those same kinds of courtesies back to another person. And so, you know, when the spirit was broken and the next thing that came in was something that was ungodly, you know, that really is going to be much more difficult to reel in. And so, you know, if you're provoking, you're being especially hard on your children, there's a price you're going to pay for it. Please stop. You know, that is not, step back, look at how God deals with us, you know, and you know, he gives us freedom of choice to think what we want to think and even to do what we want to do. And there was a while, for years, I felt like I was so in bondage in Christianity. I've been Christian for a long time. And I just did not feel any freedom. It just seemed like everything was just a bunch of no's. And I'm kind of a butterfly, you know. And so, you know, you can't cage certain things, and you can't really cage butterflies. So they really need to be able to just, you know, see, and they need room in order to grow and to fly and to be all the things that they are. And so I didn't feel like I had the complete room I needed in order to be who I was. But over time, I have come into the freedom that is in Christianity and the freedom that has been made available to me in Christ. But back to this thing with, you know, feeling like you need to your wife into submission, you know, whether it's with your words or with your silence or, you know, with your money, you know, with sex, whatever it is that you are using to try and control her, you're out of order. You're out of order, and it is wrong. It is wrong on so many different levels. And so, you know, that it's an abuse of the power that God gave you. And you need to repent, you know, And if it's been going on for a long time, you know, it's hard to change your ways. You might need to actually seek some sort of, you know, maybe Christian therapy or, you know, or therapy period, or you talk to the, you know, talk to your pastor or whatever, you know. But I know that there's so many times we feel like we have to just put up with anything that comes our way as Christians. But, you know, that is not scriptural. We, you know, he does not ask us to put up with anything. And as a matter of fact, he tells us that we have, you know, dominion over, you know, over ungodly stuff. We have dominion over, you know, over spirits and principalities of the air and all those kinds of things. We have to go on and see what's there for what it is and, excuse me, and then, you know, find it, rebuke it, whatever it is that we need to do in order to be able to exercise the freedom. But that submission, it's one to the other. You know, there are strengths that your wife has, strengths that your female, your partner has that you don't have, because God did not create us to be exactly alike for a reason. Your strengths are her weaknesses. Her weaknesses, you know, are your strengths and vice versa. And so, you know, you need to respect bring into the relationship. You know that you're not better than the other person. You're not less than the other person. You are equal to the other person. You just have different strengths, different abilities. And so as you were submitting, you know, women are very discerning, and that discernment, you know, if heeded, can really keep you out of a whole heap of trouble if you would just listen, you know. But if you have the mindset, you know, the man is always right, or, I know it all, or, you know, I can do it better, or, you know, whatever it is that is, that's kind of faulty in your thinking, then you will miss the very vessel that God is using to try and bless your life and to keep you out of threats and scrapes and things that will cause you problems later on. And I know if you can step back and look over time, you could probably see where, you know, it might have been your mother who spoke, or your grandmother, a girlfriend, your wife, you know, whatever. And they spoke some things to you that you completely blew off, and then you regretted it unnecessarily. You know, went through all kinds of just hardship and drama and stuff that was, that really just cost you a whole lot of pain that you didn't have to go through. You had just heeded the voice, heeded the person that God was sending to send you a message. You know, and it's not that he is a dictator. He really isn't. He gives us freedom to choose and freedom to do whatever it is that we want to do. But we also get to deal with all the consequences that come with doing what it is that we have chosen, whether it's positive or negative. So, you know, that's just something, you know, to think about today. You know, even in the midst of, you know, relationships with friends or relationships with parents, you know, we still, there's still a level of submission there. You know, we're not supposed to be just lording ourselves over another person, just, you know, just beating people down. You know, you're going to do it my way. Well, who's to say that your way is the only way there is when you are dealing with vision, you know, and the vision that God has given for your life? Someone else is not going to get that vision the same way that you give it, that you get it, because there's only one person who's like the head of that vision. And so God will give that vision to the visionary, and then it is up to the visionary to express to the people who are supposed to support in a way that they'll catch the vision and help them and support them with that. And so, you know, those things are very important. And so a lot of what we'll be talking about during this broadcast is loving self. And, you know, other than the relationship that we have with God, the relationship that we have with ourselves, really important relationship of all. You know, if the relationships that, or the people who are around us are a mirror of who and what we are, then there's something there that you're supposed to learn. And so, you know, it's real easy to blame someone. I mean, because, you know, let's put this face. Some of us have been through some serious, serious hurt at the hands of other people, you know. And it's very easy to just stay stuck in victim mentality. You did this to me. She did that to me. He did that to me. But the truth is, there was some part of it that you were responsible for, too, even if it was just a matter of you stayed. You stayed in it when you should have gotten out of it. you know, you didn't speak up for yourself or whatever, because you know what the circumstances were regarding that. But if you choose to sit down the victim cap, just sit it down and just ask God to just show you that whole situation objectively, you'll see the part that you played in that too, you know. And part of on this journey of abundant living is being authentic, and it's being honest with ourselves, you know, about ourselves, about what we want, about who we are, about what we do, about our shortcomings. You know, how do you make changes if you refuse to, you know, see yourself except through rose-colored lenses? Now, take those glasses off and go ahead and just see what's really there, you know. And, you know, there are people who know me, and they know that, you know, I kind of live my life like this, you know. But then there are others who might think, oh, well, you know, you're just so hard on us. No, I'm not. I am not telling you to do anything that I don't do myself. And, of course, it's hardest to look at yourself, you know, and to see where your shortcomings are. But none of us are perfect. And so in order for us to be able to give our best, we've got to work on ourselves. You know, we have to be able to, you know, to be healthy individuals on the inside and to know, okay, you know, this is an area where I struggle. You know, oh, yep, I tend to be controlling. Or, you know, no, I tend to, you know, be kind of negative. Or, you know, whatever it is, you know, you need to be willing to accept it for what it is so that you can bring about whatever change it is that's necessary. And so, you know, for everyone who comes into your life, they are there to teach you something. You know, that doesn't always, you know, feel good. It certainly doesn't sit well, but everyone who comes into your life is there to teach you something, you know. And so, like, I can think about myself, and I talk a lot about, you know, the things that I go through, because I try and be transparent, you know, and I have, for years, attracted very selfish, narcissistic individuals into my life, you know, and, like, I'm a giver, you know, and I pour, and I like to help people, I like to help people. I am very loving, you know, and I feel other people's pain, and I am wired to help. You know, it's kind of my nature. I'm learning, you know, I have learned through the years to, you know, to seek the Lord and see it, like, if this assignment is mine or not, you know, but I still feel what I feel, and I still, you know, I'm a person who will pour into the lives of other people, you know, and, but I would attract people who would just take, you know, they wouldn't pour anything back. You know, you would ask something of them, and there would be some sort of excuse about why they couldn't, you know, and yet in the same breath, they would be holding out their hand wanting something from you, you know. Oh, I can't help you. I won't even lift a finger. I won't make a phone call for you, you know. Yeah, but can you give me money? Can you help me do this? Can you, you know, I want to tap into what you're doing. Can you give me resources? You know, and yet they're pouring into no one. And it's like, okay, you know. And so I'm thinking, okay, what's wrong with this picture here? And why am I attracting, you know, people who are that way? And so I had to go back, you know, and I could see early, you know, in life, I could talk, you know, pretty candidly about my father. He passed away earlier this year, but my biological father was a real piece of work, a real piece of work. So, you know, but he was that way, you know, and everything was all about him. And, you know, and even to the point, even when he died, it was still that same way, you know. And, you know, if you could not be of, you know, of use, then, you know, you were disposable. And he would just move on to the next one who would. And so, you know, he was a very attractive man. You know, if the woman wanted him, and he used that to his advantage, you know, he was going to have what he wanted. I don't think he ever lived by himself ever in life, you know. And, you know, and he was very charming and, you know, had a personality that would just draw people, you know. And so he used that to his advantage, you know. But in the midst of that, there were things that I learned, and, you know, I mean, I'm a kid, so I don't know how not to internalize this stuff. You know, basically, you have made me feel like, oh, I don't exist. I don't matter. And, you know, the only purpose that you serve, you know, and not just him, there were other people too, you know, but your only purpose in life is to meet the needs of other people. And so for years, I felt like I would feel guilty when I would do something for myself, or, you know, if I wanted to go somewhere, if I wanted anything from me, I would feel so from, you know, other people, you know, to kind of reinforce those feelings of guilt, you know. And, you know, but there's this little voice inside of me saying, you know, but don't I matter? You know, the things that I want, don't I matter? You know, is it all just about you? You know, did you know there was something that I wanted to do? You know, did you know that I gave this up for you? You know, there were things I wanted to do, and I didn't feel like I could do them because of, you know, whatever, there to pick up pieces of your life or, you know, whatever the situation may have been. And so it took years, you know, in the first maybe 3 or 4 months of the show, we really talked a lot of foundational things, you know, and I remember during one of the episodes talking about, you know, how when you are attached, you know, to other people, and of course we are, when you are telling your story, you're telling their story, you know, and so, you know, it kind of puts you in a precarious spot, and you're not always comfortable being able to share everything about you, but sometimes people need to know where you've been in order for them to be able to know that they can come out of where they are, too. And so, you know, in the midst of putting your business out there, you're kind of seeing the business out there of other people. And, but you deserve to have your story validated. You deserve to have your feelings validated. And, you know, you can pretend that, you know, it didn't happen or whatever, but bottom line is, it did. And lying about it or hiding it or covering up is not going to change anything, and it's certainly not going to help you get your healing. And so, you know, when we are younger, we are kind of forced into roles. You know, there's the oldest child, and then there's, you know, the all responsibility that falls, or the only, you know, there's all the responsibility that falls on that person. And then there's, you know, the middle child. And then, you know, and whatever your role was, you know, you didn't really have a say-so in it because you were just a child. You know, so you grow up and you fulfill the role. You know, next thing you know, you're a teenager. You know, you're still fulfilling the role. And then, you know, you go from teenagehood into adulthood, and, you know, it's a matter of, okay, you know, you're not going to just automatically cut it off. No, you're going to continue to keep functioning in that same place that you've always functioned in because it's all that you know. And so you figure at this point, you know, you've been functioning this way for, you know, decades, you know. And so, you know, a lot of times in your 20s, you know, in your late 20s, you realize, you know, something might be off. In your 30s, you definitely start to see some things, you know. In your 40s, you know, stuff gets real clear. Excuse me. And so, you know, you realize that, okay, in order for change to take place, it really is something that I'm going to have to do myself. I'm going to have to force the change. And so, you know, you step back and you say, okay, yes, this may have been the way that the family chose to do things for, you know, for decades or, you know, even for generations. I am choosing that this is not what I want for my life. I am choosing that we can do something very differently. There's a actually kind of a cute little story that I heard. Excuse me. There was a, you know, a lady who would prepare, like, the holiday meal with her mother. And so, yeah, she would always see their mother cut off a portion of, like, the ham. You know, she would cut off, you know, with the ends of the ham and put it, you know, and then season it and bake it or whatever. So, you know, she grows up and she does the same thing. And so she's asking her mom one day, why do we do this? And the mom's like, oh, I have no idea. You know, I used to see my mother do it. And so she asked her grandmother, you know, why are we cutting off the ends of the ham like this? And the grandmother says, oh, because my pan was too small. So here for generations, yeah, you know, they're doing this, and there's no real reason that they have to be doing it. There was, I mean, it served a purpose when the grandmother was doing it, you know, but it was something that was just passed on, you know, for generations. And so someone stepped up and said, okay, you know, like, so even though that's kind of a cute little story, you know, I bet there are some, you know, some ham shanks that you have been cutting in your life, too, that have just been kind of passed down, and you don't even really know why you're doing it. And yet, it serves a purpose of recognizing that you're doing it and then asking, you know, where does it even come from, you know? And so, you know, sometimes it could be even, you know, the kinds of relationships that you, you know, that you attract, you know, or, you know, what you do in relationships. I mean, I know we have heard or seen of, you know, of women who will give their men the world and and give their kids crumbs. They're, you know, he's eating steak and their kids are eating hot dogs. You know, that kind of stuff. And, you know, and they'll turn right around, you know, because, you know, basically you've told them, you know, you don't really matter. So, you know, they'll turn around and they will attract a man and they'll pour their everything into him, and the kids will get not much of anything, you know. And so, you know, there are just things that we do that we really need to be mindful of, is that we just take from generation to generation, you know, but we have a responsibility to ourselves to recognize what works and to recognize what doesn't work and to make some changes. I mean, you can, after you have, you can't make a change if you don't know that there's a problem, okay? So, you know, what we've already talked about, you know, living this abundant life, you've got to be authentic. You have to be honest with yourself, you know, and we know the things that are off. We can feel it. You know, or if you are hiding stuff, or if you are lying about something, or if you are, you know, trying to, you know, brush something under the rug, or, you know, hide it in the back of the closet, you know, those are already signs letting you know, okay, whatever this is so out of order, and I need to do something about it. The table, you know, and examine it. Let's stop trying to hide it. You know, if there is, you know, if, you know, someone's doing drugs, or, you know, if there's, you know, whatever it is, you have that conviction on the inside of you that's already letting you know, okay, this is not the right thing to do. You know, the person could be sleeping around or, you know, whatever. And, you know, but if you have a hard time looking yourself in the mirror when you're done, you know, or you feel dirty or shamed or anything like that, then obviously those are signs letting you know, you might want to change some of your behaviors, and this is obviously not what you need to be doing, you know. And so, I mean, we can justify things, and we do, you know. And, you know, sometimes, you know, usually when a major change is going to be taking place in your life, or God is trying to really deal with you in an area, he will start to send people into your life who will speak into your life in that area, you know. And so, like, even with, like, the relationship thing, you know, we talk about, you know, how we want a different thing. And so for, you know, one of our assignments a few weeks ago was sit down and realize, okay, well, what is it that I actually want? Actually, it may have been last week's assignment, you know, to sit down and say, hey, okay, well, this is what I want, you know. And, you know, but we know that when we put that out there, that a test is going to come. You know, this thing that you said that you didn't want is going to come, it's going to look so good. You know, if you're a guy, it's going to be a girl, you know, with, you know, with whatever it is that you really just admire and like so well. You know, she's going to look that part. You know, she's going to be everything it is that you would normally go for. And it's going to cost your bath. You know, if the guy, you know, he's going to be everything that you think is hot and tempting and whatever else, this is that test. And so sometimes, though, you'll have someone who will fail the test because they haven't actually decided that they were going to participate in the changes that God was trying to do in their life. Problem with that is that it's going to come with a cost. If he is trying to evoke a change, you know, usually there's something in there for your safety that has something to do with it. There's something about you reaching your destiny that has something to do with it. And, you know, you can blow it off, but the cost attached to that act of disobedience is way too high. And so, you know, when Mr. Sugarlips goes walking by, you know, and you choose to go that route, you know, so many levels that you are forfeiting, you know. And so, you know, you just have to make some decisions about some things. How serious are you about it? If you're just tuning in, you are listening to Living Abundantly with Tamika Patrice Kane, and this is 109.9 Penn Station, and we are in the midst of our Healthy Relationship series. And tonight we are really just talking a lot about the importance of a healthy relationship with yourself. And so, you know, since that is, I mean, of course, you know, we know we have to have a good spiritual base and things like that, but, you know, like the person that you deal with the most is yourself. So, you know, you've got to be honest about, you know, who you are and where you are. And we are looking at old patterns that we just kind of grow up in sometimes and just do. And not always really, you know, paying attention to some things. You know, we don't always know doing, you know. And so I'm thinking, I just have a thought crossed my mind, and it was about, you know, a lady that I knew who had been extremely abused. She had been orphaned as a child, and, you know, went to live with her grandparents, and the grandfather was very, very abusive to all the children in the home. And, you know, she grows up, you know, here's, now she's a teenager, you know, and she's graduated, you know, high school, so technically, she's an adult, you know, but she has all of these patterns and all of these behaviors, and she has a history of just attracting the wrong men, and, you know, I mean, she was very promiscuous, and, you know, which a lot of times women who have been sexually violated tend to, not all of them, but some of them tend to go that route, and very, very promiscuous, and just really out there, and just, you know, I mean, just sleeping with all kinds of people, just really wild, you know. So now, you know, she's in her, you know, she's in her 20s, and she's in her 30s, and she has these behaviors, and yet, you know, the behaviors have been there for decades, and so it's hard to just break something, you know, to break those things down, and yet she's longing for something more. You know, she doesn't want to just be screwing some guy she just met at a club in a bathroom, and yet that's what she's doing, you know. Or, you know, what she wants is someone who loves her, because she has grown up her whole life not experiencing that kind of love. She certainly didn't get it from her grandfather. She didn't get it from her father, you know. And so she's looking for love in all the wrong places. And yet, you know, she has actually become almost like a victim of the life and the circumstances that she grew up in, that she never learned to separate herself from. And, you know, eventually her choices killed her. You know, she married some guy that she met in prison, and, you know, that ended up being its own thing. I won't get into all that, but, and he killed her. So that was, you know, but, you know, she wasn't, of course, she wasn't looking for that. She was just looking for someone, you know, to love her. And so, you know, it is important for us to be able to step back and say, okay, all right, this is a faulty pattern that I have here, and I need to get myself some help. I need to do something that will help me to not be this way and not be this type of person. And so, you know, and it's not about judging. You know, it's just about taking an honest assessment about where you are and what you're doing, and saying, okay, you know, these are deficits that I have, and this is what I need to do, you know. And, you know, in time, you know, someone will come in and will be able to, you know, as you put, you know, someone will be able to come in and to love you, and to, you know, to bring, help bring, you know, closure or whatever. And so, you know, a lot of times we want to dictate where the blessing comes from. But you know what? We don't get to do that. And so, like, I have had some really, you guys all, you know, at this point, you all know that I am an author, and I have a novel that came out, just around this time last year, you know, and that, oh my goodness, that project was one heartache after another, one disappointment after another, and it seemed like, you know, folks just gave me their absolute worst, you know, and so I remember the day that I picked the books up from, you know, and what should have been, like, the happiest time of my life, I was so discouraged and so frustrated, and I remember driving back to where I was going, and tears were just pouring down my face. I was so just disheartened, and here, you know, it was almost like, you know, having been pregnant or whatever, and then, you know, here's the baby, so you should be happy, and yet it had been such a heartache, you know, and all the setbacks, and, you know, and all the foul things that folks were doing to sabotage my project. And, you know, and yet, you know, you're thinking, okay, well, I'm paying this person, you know, or, you know, I'm working with this person, or, you know, the Lord very specifically told me to work with that person, and you think that people give you their best, and you think that they would understand, you know, that their own blessings are tied to the things that they're doing for you, and yet, you know, they're like, here's my middle finger, I don't give a damn about you, you know, and it was very eye-opening, very hurtful, and it's like, okay. And yet, you know, so we get through that, and then he began to raise up people who understood and who were willing to be a blessing, you know. And I realize that the project's not mine. The gift is not my gift. I am just a steward of it, so I can't do with it what I want to do with it, you know. And so I don't just use anyone, you know. I try to be very sensitive to, you know, and to the leading of the Spirit. Who is it that you want me to work on this? And so what he had me doing was being a vessel where a lot of startup companies would be able to tap into my project, and we could all kind of rise through the ranks together. You know, we are being a blessing to each other. You know, oh, this one did that for me, and that one did this. And yet those same people, you know, did not give me any real creative energy or didn't really want to be a blessing. They actually were like a hindrance in trying to sabotage the project. And so, you know, they were cutting their noses off, you know, because sometimes we don't understand who people are. And so because we've decided that they're nobody and nothing, we think we can just treat them any kind of way. But, you know, remember, you know, God uses the foolish things to confound the wise. So the very one that you think is nothing and has no worth is the very one God has targeted, you know, to rise to the top. Supreme rises to the top. And so, you know, be careful who you're discounting. Be careful throwing away, you know. And not all that glitters is gold. You know, a friend of mine says this, and I absolutely love it. She says, you know, not only is it not gold, sometimes it's tinsel, and you can get that from the dollar store. And so, and how true that is. You know, so, you know, just because someone has the flashiest car and the most expensive looking clothes, and, you know, they have a Rolex or whatever the most expensive watches and stuff are, and they're drinking, you know, and they're hobnobbing here and there, that does not mean one thing. This person who is driving a late model station wagon, minivan, wearing jeans from Walmart, you know, could very well be the key to your success. So just because it doesn't glitter and shine bright does not mean that that person does not have worth and value. Just because it looks like you guys are on different paths does not mean that there's not something you're supposed to glean from that person. So be careful throwing folks away, you know, and, you know, we don't have the right to do that. The same God that made you made them. And so we all are created with the same level of worth. We may have different assignments in the kingdom and, you know, in different things that we are put on earth and created to do. You know, some things are shiny and out front, and other things are, you know, more laid back and low-key, and you may not even recognize them. You know, people, you know, there's someone who was created to be a park ranger. You don't really think anything about that, you know. There are people who were created to be in the limelight. They were created to be actors and, you know, well-known physicians and things like that. And then there are people who were created to, you know, be administrative assistants to keep the office running, you know. And it doesn't seem like it's very glamorous or created to be caregivers. It's not glamorous work, but it's necessary, you know. And just because they're not doing something that causes them to shine doesn't mean that they're not worthwhile individuals. Doesn't mean that their work is not worthwhile. And so, you know, you need to be careful who you're just discounting and throwing away, you know. And I'm thinking about the movement that was kind of taking place back in like the 90s when I was in high school. And, you know, you had many entrepreneurs coming up. You know, FUBU and stuff like that was popular then. You know, you had many entrepreneurs that were coming up from the hood, you know, and they looked like they were from the hood. And so people were blowing them off like, you know, you're nothing. And yet here's these young people, you know, with their saggy pants and baggy clothes and all this kind of stuff were millionaires because they had, you know, they had a dream, they had a vision, and they were so much more than what they looked like. You know, not everyone needs to be wearing Brooks Brothers, you know, in order to be successful. And so, you know, it just, you need to have eyes that see more than just what's there. You need to be able to use your eyes and use your spiritual sense and have an understanding of who, you know, people are and not throw folks away, you know, because in the midst of you discounting someone, in the midst of you throwing someone away, you could very well be throwing your own blessings away. Please know the guy sits back and he pays attention, how big your house is, how expensive is your car, where is your house, and how much money do you make, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. You know, that, all that stuff means nothing to God. But thing that means the most to him is how are we treating each other? How are we treating each other? You know, and so, you know, we look back and we look and see what our example is. And, of course, Jesus is always our example of what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to treat people, you know. And, I mean, I don't have to tell you his story. You know, he came and gave the ultimate sacrifice of love. He didn't have to leave his throne, you know, to come down here and walk the same streets for us. And yet he did, you know. And so do you really think that he's going to be pleased that you are talking to people any kind of way, that you are, you know, stealing from folks, that you are mistreating people, you know, that you're just, I'm going to just, you know, use the vernacular, just dogging folks out? Do you really think that he's going to be pleased with that? You know, when he esteemed them even higher than himself, that he would come down here and go through what he went through just for us to be able to, you know, to have life and to have it abundantly and to have freedom. You know, he paid a price for that. It's the freedom that we have, it was paid for, you know. And we don't have the right to be mistreating what he values. And so, you know, sometimes I'll see people and they might be, you know, making fun of someone, or I guess the new thing lately has been, you know, just take your cell phone and snap a picture of something, you know, that you, and then post it, you know, and then, you know, you get on there on social media and just start, you know, ragging on folks. Really? You know, how do you know that that's not the only pair of shoes that that person had? Or, you know, who are you to talk about someone who's overweight? What's that have to do with you? You know, I have found, and he tells us not to judge, you know, because the very things that we judge in others tend to come back around and bite us in the butt later on, you know, and we end up kind of struggling with the same kinds of things. And so you have to be really careful when you are, you know, making fun of folks and things like that. And it seems like I have just kind of gone on and on about this, but apparently it must be something, you know, that someone really needs to hear. And you need to stop because you're wrong. And so, you know, I'm going to just call it how it is, you know. We need to stop and step back. How do I want to be treated? How do I want to be treated? And so when you answer that question, let that then become the basis for how you treat other people. Because, you know, you reap what you sow. And it does seem like for a time, you know, even if you are sowing foul stuff, it seems like for a time you get away with it. But ultimately you'll pay a price for it. You know, is it worth all that? You know, it's very easy to just be nice to someone, or at least to leave folks alone. You know, you don't have to be mean to people. You know, I was one of those kids who was so picked on in school. You know, I was, I think they call it bullying and stuff now, you know, but I was bullied all through high school. You know, I was really different and quiet and, you know, just different from, you know, my peers. And for that, you know, paid for being that person, you know, and having this voice living in the hood and, you know, all those kinds of things, you know, but, and no one stops, you know, to say, hey, you know, that's a person that you're mistreating. You know, do you want to be treated like that? So, you know, just what is it that you want? That's the question. What is it that you want? How do you want someone to treat you? Do you want someone to pour into you? Do you want someone to love you? Do you want someone to listen to you? Do you want someone to be there for you when you need them? Do you want someone to, you know, to lend you money when you are short? Do you, or give you money when you're short? Do you, you know, want someone to, you know, speak words of life over you? Then you need to start doing those same kinds of things, you know, for other people. And so, to, you know, what you're seeing when you look in the mirror. And so, you know, because this is important. And, you know, in addition to how we're treating other people, we also need to know how we're treating ourselves, too. And so sometimes we can be our worst towards ourselves, you know. And like, do you ever just stop and, like, you know, hear the thing, the thoughts that run through your mind? You're so stupid, you're ugly, you're, you know, whatever. And it's like, whoa, would you say something like that to someone's face? Okay, then don't talk to yourself like that, you know. And it's a challenge to be able to step back and say, okay, right, let me really be mindful of the things that are on my mind, you know. And so a lot of times we're just beating ourselves up, but you know what, we're just people. You know, we're people too. You know, and if you can extend grace and mercy to someone else and you can forgive someone else, then don't you think you need to forgive yourself? You're going to fall short. You're going to mess up time and time again. Just that, you know, it's just our way, you know. But as long as you learn something from it, then it doesn't have to be
you know, in vain. Yeah, you know, it can be hurtful to the ego, you know, when you make a mistake, you know, and you have made error, you know, like that. Yes, you're going to feel it. It's going to hurt, you know, but it doesn't have to be the end of the world. You know, did you learn something from it? You know, did you figure out how to do something a little bit differently next time so that you can have better results? Then it wasn't in vain. You know, it doesn't mean you're stupid. You know, it doesn't mean that you are incapable of learning. You know, just because you may have failed a test. Okay, so you failed a test. You know, take it again. You know, it's okay. Take it again. You know, and we want to be pouring words of life into ourselves too. You know, and so, you know, like I am, you know, affirmation lists and stuff like that. You know, and I will take areas of my life where I am really, that I feel like I'm struggling, and I will turn that struggle into a positive statement and just start speaking those things over myself. You know, you might want to go on YouTube and find some, you know, videos that will be helpful. You know, like if you're really struggling with your finances, then you might want to, you know, to watch some, you know, some videos on bringing money in or, like subliminal things, you know, to kind of help with your mental blueprint on, you know, finances, or if you want to start losing weight. You know, it doesn't matter how many times you have lost weight and gained it back. It doesn't matter because today's a new day, you know, and you're going to just start all over again, and you're going to just give yourself permission to just be where you are today. Can you just love yourself today? Can you be kind to yourself today? You know, would you beat someone else up, you know, who was struggling like that? Would you do that? You know, so don't do that to yourself either. You know, just love yourself and be patient and kind. Yes, patient, there's a word. You know, be patient with yourself. You know, you didn't get this way overnight, and change doesn't come overnight. It takes at least 21 days of doing something consistently to start a new pattern. Well, it takes 21 days doing something consistently to break a pattern, too. You know, so, you know, when you start talking about, you know, like mindset and stuff like that, you know, you have to just, you know, just be mindful of what you're thinking. And then when you hear those thoughts run into your mind, you just, no, shut them down. You know, no, just shut them down. And, no, I refuse to think those thoughts. No, I am not stupid. I can learn anything I need to learn. You know, no, I am not dumb for loving this person. You know, there's, you know, perfect love cast out fear, or, you know, love never fails, or, you know, whatever it is. And we just are what we are. I mean, now, in the midst of, you know, talking about the love thing, you know, in the midst of, you know, loving who we love, you know, there's never anything wrong with loving. I mean, that is the very foundation of even why we exist, is to love. You know, that's the very foundation of why Jesus came here, in love, you know. And so, you know, we don't beat ourselves up about, you know, who we love. I mean, we may not be able to be with who we love, and because, you know, we're not going to sacrifice ourselves to the point where, you know, someone is mistreating us, you know, and that's okay, you know, neglecting us, and that's okay. It's not okay, you know, but your heart loves who it loves. It longs for what it longs for, you know, but sometimes you have to love people from a distance. Sometimes you have to love yourself more than you're loving anybody else, you know, and let that love shine forth in your actions. And so it's not okay for you to love someone who's mistreating you and let them in your life to mistreat you. That's not okay. That's not loving yourself very well. You know, someone to be with someone who's beating them up or calling them names, or, you know, who's just not there for them. You know, it's not okay. And so, and you don't have to subject yourself to that. And, yeah, you have, sometimes you have to give yourself permission to be able to just, you know, let some things go, you know. But if you can recognize where you are, and so that'll kind of be your assignment this week, you know, just to recognize, you know, where you are. I think you're supposed to have started doing something like that maybe last week or the week before, you know, where you are, you know, looking at yourself and saying, okay, you know, this is what I want, and these are the deficits that I have or that I see in myself, or these are the patterns that I have fallen into previously. And this is what I have found that I have been attracting, and I need to make some changes. So, you know, like if you can know where you are, or you can step back and say, okay, oh, yeah, I can see where this pattern was, it's that ham shank again. for this one has been passed down from generation to generation, but this isn't really serving any of the women in our family well. I choose to break the cycle. You know, all it takes is one. You know, all it takes is one. And if you can find yourself in Scripture, if you can figure out who you are in Scripture and, you know, find out what your kingdom assignment is, you know, some of the struggles that you've had in life would really make so much sense. You know, if you are a person who is supposed to have a dynamic marriage ministry, it would make so much sense that you would have struggled in relationships so badly for years. It would make sense that you would not be able, you know, even when you have attracted the person, you know, the person that's supposed to be there, that they still wouldn't come through and do what they're supposed to do. You know, it would just make so much sense that they would just, that you would just be fought in these areas so strong. If you have some, if you have a voice, if you have something that you need to say, it would make sense that, you know, you would just be, people would be trying to silence you your whole life. Where are your struggles? Where are your struggles? Because they are strategic and they are specific for a reason. And they are meant to keep you out of reaching your destiny. And so where are your struggles? If you can recognize your kingdom assignment, you know, and then purpose just for where you have had such major attacks, then it would help you to know, okay, yes, yes, I understand why I struggle with this. You know, yes, I understand, because there is something greater attached to it, something greater. So, you know, for those of you who are being fought in the area of being silenced, no, don't give up your voice. You have something that's supposed to be said. You have something that you've got to send out there to the universe. There's someone who needs your testimony. They need your story, and they need the words that can come forth in just the way that only you can bring them forth. They need to hear what you have to say, and your story has not been in vain. And so don't you get silent. Don't you stop writing. Don't you stop speaking. You know, don't you shut down just because the road has been rough. You know, you get some people around you who support you and who can kind of speak life into you. You search Scripture and find some Scripture that will back up, you know, the plan that God has for you, and you meditate on those. You get out there and you make your confessions, and in the morning, you know, and even throughout the day, you get in the mirror and you speak life over yourself. Speak life into yourself. You know, you deserve to have a life that you are to be able to fulfill your destiny. You deserve to be able to look in the mirror and know that you know, you're not perfect, but you did good. You deserve to be able to know that. And you deserve the best that God has made available to you, the absolute best. You don't have to settle for less, you know. And even as I'm talking to myself, too. I can, I'm talking to myself, too. You know, so, you know, just know that you deserve all that he has made available to you. You know, and it just may require that you have to do some work, some internal work, in order to be able to get to it. But it's worth the effort. It is so worth on your dreams, you know. And stop looking at yourself like you are less than. You know, you didn't make any junk. You know, and to call yourself nothing or to treat yourself like you're nothing is really kind of a slap in the face to him, because you didn't make you. He made you. And when he looked at you, he didn't say, oh, it's half baked, me throw it back on the oven. He looked at you and he said, it is good. It is good. And so, you know, you are a perfect creation. Not a perfect person. That's different. But you are a perfect creation, a perfect creation, made in the very image of righteousness. And so know who you are. Know who you are. Know whose you are. And then be that. Be that. And if you have to close the door on some folks who refuse to allow you to be who you are, then you go ahead and close those doors. You know, if folks are fighting you and not wanting you to reach destiny, obviously those are not some folks who need to have any kind of inner place in your life. They do not need to be a part of your inner circle. And so if you've got to shut some stuff down and shut some people down, well, then you do what it is that you need to do. Okay? So we're going to go ahead and start shutting this down for the night. So I have mentioned the book a couple of times. So if you have not picked up your copy and read the award-winning Seasons of Change, feel free to do so. I would really like it if you did. And when you're done, go ahead and leave a review, too. You can pick it up on Amazon. Again, that's Season of Change by Tamika Patrice Kane. It's available on all e-readers, and the downloads are only $1.99, and then it's available also in hard copy. You can get various book information about me. You can see the book trailer. You can follow my blog. You can catch the calendar, all those kinds of things at my website, and that is www.tamikapatrice.com. If you are not following me on Facebook but would like to do so, I am Tamika Patrice Kane on Facebook. And on Twitter, it's at Tamika Patrice. So, again, that's TUMIKAPATRICE. Okay. And, you know, reach out. You know, send me a note. Let me know how you're doing. And if you need prayer or whatever, you know, just reach out to someone, especially if you are having a rough time this time of the year. You know, don't go through all of that alone. You don't have to be alone. There are people who care, and there are people who are there and who are willing to be a friend and to kind of help you through some stuff, okay? And, you know, I just want to leave you with these thoughts. You know, celebrate the that is you. Yeah, I said it. The gift. That is you. You are a gift. You know, you are a gift to the world. You know, what he has placed in you is a gift. The world, you know, and you were created for a purpose. And no matter who has tried to silence you or who has tried to convince you that you're nothing, know that it's a lie. Know deep within that it's a lie, that you are someone. You are someone of importance. You are someone with value. You are someone with a story to tell. You are someone with a voice who deserves to be heard, who deserves to be heard. And so I invite you tonight to go ahead and live, there it is. Go ahead and just live full out. Just when you come to the end of your time here on this plane, have no regrets. Give it everything you've got. And on that note, I'm going to remind you once again to, you know, make each day a great day on purpose. I'll catch you next week. Good night.